Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for April 18th, 2024. I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. It is a sad day. Mark Bagan, Executive Vice President, U.S. Futures Strategy of MIH and Chief Executive Officer of the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, has passed away. JLN reported yesterday and MIAX confirmed today. A statement released this morning said, "We are deeply saddened by the unexpected passing of Mark," said Thomas P. Gallagher, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of MIH. "Mark provided us with a strong foundation for our growth opportunities in futures markets, and his dedication, wisdom, and unwavering commitment to MGEX and entire MIAX organization have been an inspiration for all of us. Our thoughts and prayers are with his wife and family at this difficult time. He will be greatly missed." MIAX had recently named Troy Kane as the president of MGEX and CEO of newly formed MIAX Futures, with Bagan transitioning to executive vice chairman of the board after a while. JLN learned of Bagan's passing shortly before 11 a.m. yesterday, and our inquiry to MIAX about it hit their mailboxes shortly after the internal notice, raising questions about our source. However, our source was not from MIAX. We shared the news yesterday on Twitter and LinkedIn once we confirmed the news with the second source. Our condolences to Ann Bagan and the whole Bagan family and the friends and colleagues of Mark on his passing. Mark and Ann had been married for 20 years, and it was a second marriage for both of them, with both bringing children into the marriage. This upcoming weekend is the wedding of the eldest daughter, the first to be married, according to a family friend. The FIA European Principal Traders Association has published a paper that identifies unreported segment liquidity in European equity markets. According to the paper, European equity markets are perceived to be suffering a long-standing liquidity crisis, with reported average daily volume stagnating, particularly relative to the U.S. This perception has been blamed for declining capital allocation towards European markets and the migration of listings to other regions. Congratulations to David Klotz on the approval of MetroTrade by the CFTC/NFA as an introducing broker. Klotz reminded me yesterday that he once interviewed with me for a job at the Price Group as a broker, but it was not a good fit. That was our first connection, one of many over the years as his career has progressed. Good luck to MetroTrade in the very competitive retail futures space. You've heard a lot about generative AI, but you have wondered, how can I use it? The Wall Street Journal has your answer in a story, "The Smartest Way to Use AI at Work," with the subheadline, "Generative AI tools can help you get ahead in the office if you know how to use them." Gary Gensler, the chair of the CFTC, posted a thread to X/Twitter yesterday that reflected with pride on his tenure, highlighting the SEC's efforts to serve investors and issuers over the past 3 years. They've filed over 2,000 enforcement actions, resulting in orders for more than $6 billion in civil penalties and disgorgement. Additionally, they've finalized 38 rules aimed at enhancing market efficiency, competitiveness, transparency, and resilience. Looking ahead, he said with a hint of optimism and determination, the SEC plans to continue their work, focusing on further equity market structure rules, and additional cybersecurity measures. CFTC Commissioner Christy Goldsmith Romero will take part in a panel discussion titled AI and Machine Learning, the Unknown Future Roles Towards Us at FIA's Law and Compliance Conference. The session is scheduled for Wednesday, April 24th, 2024, from 2:45 p.m. to 3:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at the Gaylord National Resort and Convention Center at National Harbor, Maryland. The STAC Scholarship Fund deadline for the 2024-2025 academic year has been extended and is now April 24th. This opportunity offers financial support to high school seniors and college students, regardless of STAC affiliation. Last year, over $54,000 in scholarships were awarded to 18 local students. You can apply online before the deadline. According to a story in Insider, Jamie Dimon says the future of the world depends on whether the U.S. can sort out its relationship with China. My comment, how is that Mars project coming along anyway? I am conducting a fireside chat later this morning at the GCSI Annual Conference 2024 at Illinois Institute of Technology. Last night we had a speaker's dinner before the conference, and I was seated across from Louis Borsellino, who used to fill my S&P 500 orders when I was at First American Discount. Borsellino is now the co-owner and director of business development for DefendEdge. The other owner is the son of a former neighbor of mine in Wisconsin. It is a very small world. Our most read stories from our previous edition of JLN Options were a fear trade as tensions rise in the Middle East from Barron's. Hedge funds sell off winning energy stocks to buy soaring oil from Bloomberg. And SIBO asks SEC to approve use of multi-share classes from Bloomberg, a video. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with the link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have Options Discovery, Episode 32, Portfolio Margining in Options. Doug Engman, Senior Consultant at Sage Trader, LLC, discusses this and more with JLN's Esma Awist. In this episode of Options Discovery, Esma Awist explores portfolio margining in options. This episode includes a breakdown of what portfolio margin accounts are and how different from strategy-based accounts they are. Esma then sits down with Doug Engman, a senior consultant at Sage Trader, who shares more insight into his role in making portfolio margining mainstream. You can check out Sage Trader with a link in today's newsletter. And then we have Portfolio Margining in Options. Doug Engman, senior consultant at Sage Trader LLC, discusses portfolio margining and its history in this Options Discovery full interview. In this Options Discovery full interview, Esma Awa speaks with Doug Engman, a senior consultant at Sage Trader. Doug addresses a variety of topics from his career, including what got him started in the options industry. He gives more insight into what portfolio margining is, and he goes deeper into the influential role he had in making portfolio margin accounts mainstream in the options industry. You can check out Sage Trader with a link in today's newsletter, and watch this and our other video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a press release from Cboe Global Markets. The headline, Cboe Global Markets announces recipients of 2024 Cboe Empowers Scholarship Program, expands program to New York City. Cboe Global Markets, Inc., the world's leading derivatives and securities exchange network, announced the recipients of its 2024 Cboe Empowers Scholarship Program, which for the first time included students from New York City. This year, Cboe Empowers awarded full-ride scholarships to five recipients in Chicago, 3 recipients in Kansas City and 2 recipients in New York City. Initially launched in 2021, the SIBO Empower Scholarship Program awards a select number of full-ride scholarships to students from Chicago's South or West Sides, Kansas City, Missouri, and Kansas, and New York City. This year's recipients were honored with a celebration and bell-ringing ceremony attended by SIBO leadership and associates at each of the respective SIBO offices. The scholarship program is part of SIBO Empowers, the company's community engagement program that supports under-resourced students across all stages of education, from elementary or primary school to career. In addition to scholarships, SIBO Empowers provides mentorship, guidance, and educational and leadership opportunities to under-resourced students. My comment, SIBO Global Markets is slowly taking over the world, first with its markets, next with its scholars. Here's another story. This is from Bloomberg. The headline, Air Canada staff are suspects in heist of 6,600 gold bars. Police named 2 Air Canada employees among the suspects in the theft of millions of dollars in gold from a cargo facility at the country's busiest airport in what police dubbed Canada's largest ever gold heist. Police in Peel Region, a Toronto suburb, identified 9 men they believe were involved in the crime. They've arrested 5 and issued nationwide warrants for 3 others. The 9th person, the alleged driver of a 5-ton truck that hauled away the gold and banknotes, is in U.S. custody on firearms trafficking charges, a police detective said. My comment. The Canadian suspects are such good fellas and so polite. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, oil traders wager on $250 price by June as war risk escalates. Oil traders piled into more than 3 million barrels worth of options contracts in a bet that prices would spike to $250 a barrel by June, as geopolitical risks remain elevated. About 3,000 lots of the June $250 call options in U.S. crude traded for a penny each on Tuesday, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. It was likely a lottery ticket that might pay off if prices spike to unheard-of levels by the middle of next month, although the trade appeared to be paired with $25 put options, which could also signal a broader macroeconomic strategy, some traders and brokers said. My comment, I hope the $250 calls are part of a spread in just insurance. Here are the top 3 stories from Wednesday's JLN. Our most clicked item Wednesday was Claire Kenny, Senior Risk Management Policy Associate at CME, with Pat Kenny and other family members right after Claire completed the Boston Marathon in 3 hours, 26 minutes, and 41 seconds, or 7 minutes and 53 seconds per mile. Second was a job posting for a futures trader relative value, RV, at Geneva Trading in Chicago. Third was Commissioner Johnson to deliver keynote at Institute of International Finance Carbon Markets Gathering from the CFTC, an event which will take place today at 4:30 Eastern Time at the Institute of International Finance 1333 H Street Northwest, Suite 800 East, Washington, D.C. Here are the top 7 stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is the press release referenced earlier. Miami International Holdings announces untimely passing of MGX CEO Mark Bagan. Miami International Holdings, Inc., MIH, a technology-driven leader in building and operating regulated financial markets across multiple asset classes and geographies, today announced the untimely passing of Mark G. Bagan, Executive Vice President, U.S. Futures Strategy of MIH, and Chief Executive Officer of Minneapolis Grain Exchange, MGEX. Mr. Bagan began his career at MGEX in 1987, holding various positions until his appointment to President and Chief Executive Officer in July 2005. During his tenure, Mr. Bagan was instrumental in guiding MGEX to record volume levels for MGEX's flagship contract, Hard Red Spring Wheat, and in transitioning MGEX futures contracts to exclusively electronic trading. In 2020, Mr. Bagan oversaw the acquisition of MGEX by MIH on behalf of MGEX and continued to lead MGEX following the closing of the transaction until his passing. Here's a press release from MetroTrade LLC. The headline, MetroTrade cleared to operate as introducing broker. MetroTrade summer launch to bring back the empowered trader. MetroTrade LLC announced today that it has now registered with the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, as an introducing broker and is a member of the National Futures Association, NFA. The company is gearing up to offer access to the CME Group's U.S. futures exchanges at its launch, which is anticipated for this summer. Founded by David Klotz and Ingmar Mattis out of Chicago, MetroTrade emerges from the combined efforts of its founder from years of brokering experience. Their vision is to leverage their extensive knowledge to create a leading trading platform for their clients, utilizing state-of-the-art web and mobile technology. Here's another story, this one from the Financial Times. The headline, How Sweden's Stock Market Became the Envy of Europe. Deep pool of retail and institutional investors has helped Stockholm defy continent's capital markets gloom. In April last year, a group of nearly 60 EU officials traveled to Sweden on a fact-finding mission to meet Nasdaq Stockholm, operator of the country's highly successful stock market. During a two-hour session on, quote, capital market ecosystems, unquote, the exchange's executives explained why so many small and medium-sized businesses are deciding to list in Stockholm. At a time when the UK and many other European countries are struggling to attract initial public offerings and suffering from falling trading volumes, Sweden stands out for having, relative to its size, thriving capital markets that are backed by legions of investors and which are even tempting foreign companies to list. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Grayscale's once mighty fund is bleeding Bitcoin. The asset manager has resisted a significant fee cut, insisting that rising Bitcoin prices will continue to buoy its fortunes. For years, the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust was one of the few ways to bet on Bitcoin without buying the cryptocurrency itself. Now, with the sector awash in lower-cost competing funds, investors are fleeing the exchange-traded fund. GBTC, as the trust is known for its ticker symbol, remains the world's largest Bitcoin fund thanks to the recent surge in crypto prices. But its assets have shrunk by more than half from their peak in November 2021, in large part because the trust charges a 1.5% fee, while Bitcoin funds offered by BlackRock, Fidelity Investments, and others charge next to nothing. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, Bitcoin's halving is coming. Miners are looking for new ways to make money. Some crypto industry companies turn to artificial intelligence to diversify. Companies that unlock new bitcoins are revamping their businesses to depend less on the cryptocurrency ahead of a supply contraction that will cut profits in half. The crypto industry is holding its breath for an event called the halving, an adjustment to the Bitcoin blockchain that cuts in half the number of bitcoins that can be unlocked by miners. The change, which takes place every 4 years, will halve the number of bitcoins released on average every 10 minutes to 3.125 from 6.25 and on or around April 19th. Here's another story from the Wall Street Journal, the headline. The smartest way to use AI at work. Generative AI tools that can help you get ahead in the office if you know how to use them. Day by day, there's growing pressure at the office. Do you respond to all of those clients or let AI do it? Do you attend that meeting or do you send a bot? About 20% of employed adults said they have used OpenAI's ChatGPT for work as of February 2024. Up from 8% a year ago, according to Pew Research Center. The most popular uses for AI at work are research and brainstorming, writing first draft emails, and creating visuals and presentations, according to an Adobe survey. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, a trove of ByteDance records mistakenly went public. Here's what they say. The records briefly surfaced in a lawsuit involving the Republican megadonor Jeff Yass's firm. Somehow thousands of pages of sealed court documents relating to the birth of TikTok's owner ByteDance were mistakenly released by a Pennsylvania court before they were made secret again. I read them. The documents, emails, chat transcripts, and memos are a fascinating window into ByteDance's origins. They show that Susquehanna International Group, the trading firm of the Republican megadonor Jeff Yass, played a bigger role in the company than previously known. We're grateful for your attentive listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please spread the word about our podcast among your friends. We would greatly appreciate it if you could spare a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform upon which you access this podcast. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the Daily John Lothian Newsletter email yet, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your valued support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated. That's with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.